take your Bible and join me again in the book of Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31, and this morning we do indeed want to examine God's portrait of a wonderful wife and a marvelous mother. This lady has haunted and terrified women all over the world for more than 3,000 years now. Her massive shadow and imposing stature towers so high that anyone who looks in her direction is held in awe. She's magnificent, and she is unsurpassing. She is a wonder of a woman. She is a larger-than-life lady. We know her as the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31, but the ancient Hebrews probably called her the alphabet wife or the mother of excellence. Now you say, why in the world would you say that? Well, in the Hebrew text, there are 22 stanzas that correspond to the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and it is an acrostic. So each stanza begins with a descending letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the Aleph, the Beth, the Gimel, the Dalet, and so on. If we were to kind of roll it over into English, it might go something like this: an awesome wife, who can find her? A blessed lady, her husband trusts her. A caring woman, she does him good all of her life. A diligent worker, she is skillful with her hands. There can be no question that there has been a renewed interest in motherhood in recent years, and that is a good thing. For several decades, mothers were set on the shelf, at least looked upon in a sort of condescending, you're not so important kind of a way. But all that has changed in recent years, and I am glad for that. In fact, just in the last couple of weeks, Newsweek ran a short article entitled Mother Matters. And according to salary.com, quote, stay-at-home moms, if compensated for all the hours they work, would net $131,471 a year. Needless to say, mothers are extremely, extremely valuable. That same article went on to point out, unfortunately, that 71% of mothers say their husbands get on their nerves more than do their children. 50% of women say their mom is their best friend, and I like this one. 94% of dads say moms are as sexy as ever. And so dads still look at mom with a twinkle in their eye. But there's indeed been a renewed interest, and as a result of this, many women are reevaluating just who they are and exactly what do they want out of life. And I confess that there's a great deal of confusion running rampant, and there can be no question there is a significantly hotly debated issue when it comes to analyzing and thinking about what it means to be a mom. For example, the Washington Times in March of 1999 ran an article, Mommy Wars, Feminist Wars, Feminists Tackle Motherhood Career Conflict. USA Today, November 1999, small but significant finding, kids thrive on more mom and less daycare. Newsweek 2001, not their mother's choices, and the subheading reads, young women say they'd rather stay home than raise children via nannies and mobile phones. USA Today, March 2002, more moms make kids their career choice. Washington Post, January 2003, staying at home for teen years, and the article points out that not only do adolescents need their mom around, but teenage sons and daughters need their mom as well. LA Times, January 2003, a call for a new motherhood movement is voiced. New York Times Magazine, October 2003, why don't more women get to the top? They choose not to. Time Magazine, March 2004, the case for staying home, why more moms are opting out of the rat race. And just this year, February of 2005, it was the cover story on Newsweek magazine, The Myth of the Perfect Mother, why it drives real women crazy. I want to say to you this morning that the perfect mother is not a myth. There's indeed a magnificent portrait of her right here in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10, through 31. Indeed, employing all of the wisdom of the book of Proverbs, she appropriately concludes this book, and she puts before every woman a standard, a bar, the ideal. Let me point out very interestingly that the very first verse of Proverbs 31 says, "The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him." Now, some are not certain that verses 10 through 31 were likewise penned by King Lemuel, but if they were, then the words he writes here are words that he got from his mother. Now, let me be clear to you ladies who are here today who are mothers or will someday be mothers. When you look at Proverbs 31, understand perfection is not to be your goal. If that is what you set out before you, you will only be frustrated and discouraged. However, growth in the direction and the likeness of this lovely lady is certainly attainable for every single woman. And so I want us simply to walk through these verses this morning. And I want to show you 8 exemplary truths that we find here that every woman ought to consider when she thinks about what it means for me to be a Jesus woman, a godly woman, a Proverbs 31 kind of woman, the kind of woman who will be a blessing to her husband and a blessing to her children. Note with me, number 1, she is trusted by her husband. Verse 10 begins, "Who can find a virtuous woman?" The phrase "who can find" does not imply that such a woman does not exist. It affirms that she does exist and she is of inestimable worth, especially to her husband. Now, he notes 2 reasons why she is trusted by her husband. First of all, she is virtuous. Who can find a virtuous woman? That word in Hebrew is sometimes translated strong, sometimes the word wealth, sometimes the word ability. When it's used in a military context, it is the word often translated valor. In other words, this lady is, as the NIV says, is of noble character. As the New American Standard says, she is a woman of excellence. The marginal reading of the New King James says she is a wife of valor in the sense that she embodies all the forms of excellence. Because she is this kind of virtuous woman, she is a treasure far above rubies. She is of unbelievable wealth and value to her husband. But also, the text says that she is a valuable lady, for the Bible continues by saying, "The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good, not evil, all the days of her life." Her husband safely trusts her. There are no doubts. There are no suspicions. There are no questions. There are no concerns. This man has full confidence in this wife, in this woman who sleeps by his side in the evening. The text here alludes to, and later is going to amplify the fact, that she knows how to manage the household very well. She manages the finances. She manages the necessities. She knows what her man needs. She knows what her family needs. And she is able to see that they receive it. Verse 12 to me is especially remarkable because it says there, "She does him good, not evil, all the days of her life." In other words, if this man precedes her in death, he has no fear about what she will say when he is gone. She was a blessing to him when he was alive, and she will be a blessing to him even when he is dead. That is why he has such confidence, and he safely trusts in her. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4 adds, "An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness to his bones." Proverbs 18:22 says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." Proverbs 19:14 would add, "Houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a wise wife, she is from the Lord." And so the first thing we see is that she is trusted by her husband. Secondly, she is a hard worker. And this is delineated at some length in verse 13 going through verse 19. In other words, this woman is a fountain of energy. And I like this analogy. Though her husband may be the spiritual leader of the home, analogous to something along the lines of a coach in football, there's no question that his wife is the quarterback. She is the one in charge on the field. She is the one who calls the play. She is the one who places the players in the right place. She is the one who executes the game plan to perfection. Now, how does she do that? In two ways. First of all, we see she uses her hands. And secondly, we see that she uses her head. First of all, she uses her hands. She takes care of her family's clothing. Look at verses 13. Verse 13, she seeks wool and flax, and she willingly works with her hand. She is responsible for clothing the family. Verse 14, she takes care of the family's food. The text says she is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. I like the imagery there. She sails out and she sails back in. In the ancient world, it was very difficult to preserve food. And so basically you went out and gathered your food on a day by day basis. So she sails out, she sails in. She sails out, she sails in. Day after day after day, she goes into the marketplace, gets the things she needs to feed her family, and then she sails back in. She takes care of their clothing, verse 13. She takes care of their food, verse 14. She takes care of the family schedule, verse 15. She also rises while it is still yet night, while it is still dark. And she provides food both for her household as well as a portion for her maidservants. In other words, she gets up early if she has to. And she not only takes care of her family, but she also takes care of those who work in the house as well. Now, let me just get ahead of myself for a moment. This text reveals a woman of means. This text speaks of a woman who has resources. I am convinced that she is a lady of means, that she does have resources because God could trust her. In other words, she had been faithful in a little, and God had made her faithful in much. And the fact is, wherever you are right now, you need to be faithful in the things that God has given you. If you are, God will give you more. God will entrust you with more, not for your own benefit, as we're going to see, but primarily for the benefit of others. So the first thing we see there is she is a hard worker using her hands, but also she is a hard worker using her head as well. First of all, we see in verse 16, she is business savvy. She considers a field and she buys it. And from her profits, she then plants a vineyard. She multiplies what she has. Furthermore, she is strong and vigorous, not weak and anemic. Verse 17, she girds herself with strength and she strengthens her arms. Furthermore, she also has an air of confidence, and she is devoted both to fairness and excellence. Verse 18, she perceives that her merchandise is good, and if necessary, she stays up all night to see that that is the case, although it may be that because of her resources, she never has to worry about their lamp going out because there's always plenty of oil because of the industry of this woman. Her lamp does not go out. Now, let me say something to you. This woman is a confident lady. This lady does not walk around cowed down, looking no one in the eye. She is a lady who has an air of confidence, of security. Where does she get that? I think it comes from a twofold direction. First of all, I think she's confident because she knows she walks with the Lord. She honors God. She obeys God. And when you're walking with God, there is a Christ confidence that you can have that is a humble confidence, but a real confidence. But secondly, I believe she has this confidence because of her husband. In other words, her husband recognizes her talents, her gifts, her abilities, and he sets her free to excel in all of them. He watches her. He knows her. And where she is good and gifted, he sets her free to do those kind of things. And so here is a lady who is confident, but also a lady who is eminently fair and devoted to excellence. She perceives that her merchandise, that it is good. If we were to bring this into our modern era, I think we could say this woman is not ignorant of the Russian proverb that says, there are two fools in the market. One will ask too much, but the other will ask too little. No, she made good quality garments, and she sold them for a good, fair price, doing what she had to make sure things were ready. She does not complain, and she is not a lady mired in self-pity whatsoever. She is trusted by her husband. She is a hard worker, but now number three, she is also compassionate. This lady is tender in heart, and she is aware of those who are less fortunate than she. Verse 20 says, she extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. In other words, here is a lady who is generous and gracious in her spirit. That generosity and graciousness characterizes her total life. First of all, she helps the poor. She is not so busy at home that she cannot see the hurt of others. And so the NIV says she gladly opens her arms to the poor. She meets them where they are. She reaches out to hug and to help, to aid and to assist. She helps the poor, but also she helps the needy. It says again, yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. In other words, this lady is sensitive to those who are less fortunate than she. She is also a lady who has embraced the truth of Proverbs 11:25, which says, the generous person will be prosperous. In other words, she does not treat her position of advantage as an occasion for self-indulgence. Rather, because she has been blessed, she takes the opportunity to be a blessing to others. She reaches out to the poor, and she extends her hands to the needy. She is compassionate. But number four, she is also ready for tough times, verses 21 and 22. You see, this lady understands that life has its ups and downs, its good days and its bad days, and she is ready to face all of them when they come. Now notice, she is a lady that when tough times come, she springs into action. But also notice the order in which she takes care of business. First, she takes care of others. Verse 21, she is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She begins with her family. And the word scarlet there speaks of the finest quality garments. In other words, she gives her family and she provides for her family the very best that she can. Furthermore, she does not begin by looking to herself. No, this is a lady that has the mind of Christ. She esteems others better than herself. She looks out not only for her interest, but also for the interest of others. So first, she takes care of others, verse 21. But then, secondly, she takes care of herself, verse 22. She makes tapestry for herself, and her clothing is fine linen and purple. Again, because of her character and her commitments, God could entrust her with material blessing, knowing she would not hoard them, knowing she would not keep them for herself, but that she would share them. She is indeed a strong and elegant lady, a gracious and attractive woman. And this outward apparel simply enhances the beauty that is radiating out from the inside. I want to tell you something. You can be drop-dead gorgeous. You can have the finest clothes that money can buy. If you're not a pretty lady on the inside, after a while, you will not be a pretty lady on the outside. In contrast, if you are beautiful on the inside, even if you don't have the best, even if you don't have the finest, people will see you and they will admire you for your beauty, because what you are on the inside cannot help but come out and enhance or detract what you are on the outside. And here's a lady who is ready for tough times. But now number five, she is also a blessing to her husband. It is not by accident that this poem begins with a word from or about her husband. The poem ends with a word about her husband. And right here in the middle, at the apex, at the center, at the focal point of the poem, is also a word about her husband. In other words, this woman is the kind of woman, the kind of wife every man needs to make it and make it well in this world. She is the kind of lady who does not tear him down. Rather, she builds him up. And this building up takes place not only inside the home, but also outside the home. Note, first of all, she enhances his reputation. Verse 23, her husband is known where? In the gates. The gates were the place of business. It was the crossroads of the town where the elders would come and sit and conduct business. And if you were known well in the gates, if you had a reputation there, then you are indeed a wonderfully blessed man. This man indeed has as his greatest asset and his best advertisement this woman who is at his side. She is a plus for his reputation. She makes this man better in every way. In other words, people know this man as the man who is married to this lady. I don't want to push this too far, but sometimes I say this and Charlotte will fuss at me a little bit, but unfortunately, life has seldom proven me to be wrong here. Many times I will meet a man, and without being ugly, he's just a jerk. He's rude. He's arrogant. He has a big mouth. He has a sour, dour disposition, what I usually call partly cloudy with thunderstorms on the horizon. That's just the kind of guy that he is. And yet he'll have beside him this sweet, kind, gracious, loving lady. But I will always say to Charlotte, honey, just be careful. Just be careful. I promise you, there's probably a flaw or a problem somewhere. And she will say, why do you say that? And I will respond, because she married him. I mean, she married this jerk. She married this bozo clown. And that at least indicates a lack of judgment, if not some other flaw as well. Well, here is a man that is greatly respected. And this lady says, in essence, I knew what I was getting. I was wise in my choice of a mate. And here is someone that is respected and enhanced in his reputation because of the lady at his side. But also, she is such a great lady. She extends his responsibilities, for not only is he known in the gates, he sits down among the elders of the land. In other words, he is a man of position. He is a man of influence. He is a man who has been made better, not worse, because of the woman that he is married to. Again, just watching life and observing life, I've discovered over the years, a great woman can take a not-so-great man and raise him up and make him good, make him better. In contrast, a not-so-great woman can take a great man and pull him down to the level of the mediocre. You have that much power, you have that much influence in the life of your husband. And here is a lady who makes this man better than he could ever be without her. She only contributes to his success and standing in the community. She is a blessing to her husband. But number six, she is also endowed with godly wisdom, verses 24 through 27. Several years ago, I read an article by a lady named Linda Weber entitled, "What in the World Does a Mom Do All Day?" And I think you'll enjoy some of the insights of this wife and mother. She begins by saying, quote, "Being a mom is a job with a capital J. We work our fingers to the bone, push our nerves to the edge, and use every skill we have to accomplish the day's demands. Just what does a mother do all day? Today's college student can't imagine. And numbers of women are baffled by what they'd do with all that time if they had to be at home. Sometimes mom herself can't remember." But then Linda goes on to note both, one, what a mother is, and two, what a mother does. And I was amazed to see how beautifully she fleshes out basically what you see here in Proverbs 31, especially verses 24 through 27. Listen to what she says in terms of what is a mother? Well, a mother is the following: a baby burper, a changer, a bather, a rocker, a burper, a hugger, and a listener to crying and fussing and thousands of questions. She is a picker-upperer of food and debris cast on the floor everywhere. She is a comforter, an encourager, a counselor. I like this one. She is a linguistic expert for two-year-old dialects. She is a listener to the husband and the children about their day, their needs, their concerns, their aspirations. She is a teacher of everything from how to chew food to how to drive a car. She assists on school projects, censor of TV, movies, and books, reader of thousands of children's books, planner and hostess of children's birthday parties, planner and hostess of dinner parties. She is central control for getting the appliances fixed or the carpet shampooed. I really like this one. She is an executioner of ants, roaches, wasps, and other pests. She is resident historian in charge of photo albums, baby books, and school record books. She adds, at my house, I'm on book 50. She is resident encyclopedia source for all those hard questions, food preservation expert, keeper and locator of birth certificates and other valuable documents, ironer of wrinkles, appointment desk for the family's visits to the doctor, the dentist, the orthodontist, the barber, and the mechanic. She's one who prays, cleaner of the oven, the drawers, the closets, the garage, the curtains, the windows, even the walls. She's refinisher of furniture, emergency medical technician, and ambulance driver. And still finds time to be hubby's romantic, attentive spouse. That's just half the list. She continues, and what do mothers do? Well, they clip 10 fingernails and 10 toenails for each young child. And you know what? I have to confess with shame, I didn't even think about that until I put this message together this week. I mean, I just, you know, we had 4. So I did the math. That's 80. And for quite some time, Charlotte clipped 80 toenails and 80 fingernails. I mean, you got to. I mean, they come into this world and they, you know, they come to church and you realize that mama's inexperienced. She must be a new mama because she hadn't clipped those fingernails and now they have just mauled their faces with those fingernails. So you clip them and you clip them and you clip them and you clip them and you start clipping 80 at a time. That probably adds up over a lifetime, and it just never crossed my mind that someone was doing that. Probably didn't cross some of you guys' minds, too. Well, she also is the one who returns library books, gets film developed, chooses gifts, purchases gifts, wraps gifts for birthdays, Christmas, Father's Day, Mother's Day, wedding showers, baby showers, and anniversaries. She buys packages, buys stamps, drops off the dry cleaning, picks up the dry cleaning, hauls everything that needs repair, attends recitals. Attends every school sporting event imaginable. Now, I personally enjoyed that, but my sweet wife, who doesn't have an athletic bone in her body, must have at least had some grief the year our twins were seniors, and she went to 72 basketball games between November the 25th and February the 28th, watching the twins play on the varsity, and Paul on the varsity, the JV in the 9th grade, and Timothy on the 8th grade, and we just assumed that probably she would not have wanted to be anywhere else than at all of those sporting events. Actually, that is where she wanted to be. She is the chauffeur everyone. She's the one who chauffeurs everyone everywhere. She combs little girls' hair. She helps in the classroom. She attends school PTA meetings and conferences. She acts as a room mother, making things, organizing parties. She chaperones field trips and special events, coordinates carpools, makes bank deposits, withdrawals, delivers forgotten lunches, forgotten homework, forgotten athletic gear, lead scouts, bluebirds, and still finds time to teach a Sunday school class as well. And you know, guys, they do all of that. And you know, once in a while, we just need to step up to the plate and just say thank you. Thank you for all of those thankless, forgotten, behind the scenes, nobody notices unless it's not being done, things that mothers do again and again and again. Well, this lady is endowed with godly wisdom, and the author of Proverbs notes very quickly 4 things that she is. First of all, she's active with her hands, verse 24. She makes linen garments and sells them, and she supplies sashes for the merchants. Secondly, she is adorned by her character. Verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice, she shall laugh in time to come. In other words, what she wears is always in style, strength, and honor. Furthermore, here's a lady who does have a sense of humor and a positive outlook. She can laugh in the time to come. Thirdly, she is appropriate in her speech. Words of wisdom cascade and kindness cascade out of her mouth and fall from her tongue. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. This mother, this wife knows the nuclear power of words, and she uses them carefully and she uses them wisely with just good, godly common sense. She guards very carefully that untamable beast inside of our mouth called the tongue. But then she is also attentive to her home as well. Verse 27, she watches over the ways of her household, and she does not eat the bread of idleness. In other words, this lady is active, not idle, because there's always much to do. And she is sensitive to the personalities and the needs and the issues in the life of each of those in her household. Yes, indeed, she is endowed with godly wisdom. But number seven, she is also admired by her family. Verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, when he praises her, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. In one of the articles I cited a moment ago, the one entitled Mommy Wars, Iris Krasnow, who is a self-professed feminist and a former UPI reporter, candidly confessed, and I quote, "I'm not home all the time like my mother was. Yet I have to admit that when I am at home in that kitchen feeding four sons and a husband, I am exhilarated over the wife-mother role I once believed was the death of dreams. Nothing ever felt so powerful, so free, so spiritually right than becoming a militant mama who fights for her children on every front." And I assure you, such a lady will no doubt win the love, the affection, and the admiration of her family. Indeed, the text tells us, first of all, her children, bless her, her children rise up, they stand up, and they call her blessed. They give witness and testify to the impact that she had on their lives, the influence that she continues to exert, the fact that she shaped them and she guided them to be the young men and young women of God that they have become. Susanna Wesley was a great mother. She had 17 children that she raised. She spent 1 hour a day praying for her children. And she found time to carve out 1 hour a week for individual, personalized attention with each of her children. And she left behind a legacy of wisdom. And in particular, she did 6 things for her children that I think probably caused them to be like these children and to stand up and bless her. She said, number one, subdue self-willed in a child and work together with God to save his soul. Number two, teach your child to pray as soon as he can speak. Number three, you ought to put a star by this one, give him nothing he cries for, and only what is good for him if he asks for it politely. Well, that'd revolutionize America. I just go into apoplexy when little screaming, crying brats manipulate and wear down mom and dad, and then you play the fool and give them whatever they want to get them to shut up. Well, you're not doing them any good. You're teaching them, cry and act like a fool, and you'll get what you want. I got news for you. When they grow up, it won't work that way. Crying out like a fool, and you'll wind up either somebody decking you or your tail will wind up in jail. No, I want to read that one again. Give him nothing he cries for, only what is good for him if he asks for it politely. Number four, to prevent lying, punish no fault which he freely confesses, but never allow any rebellious act to go unnoticed. Number five, commend and reward good behavior. And number six, this is so important, strictly honor all promises that you have made to your child. Well, this mother is blessed by her children, and she is praised by her husband. I kind of envision a cheer. The boys, the girls stand up, and they begin to chant, "We've got the greatest mother in the world." And suddenly, Antiphonally, father stands up and says, "And I've got the greatest wife in the world." And back and forth they go. The greatest mother, the greatest wife. The greatest mother, the greatest wife. The greatest mother, the greatest wife. And I bet, gentlemen, that those children learned to call her blessed because they had seen it all along coming out of the mouth and from the lips of dad. I often say, with no shame at all, in fact, only with shame on myself, that if I had it to do over again, I would not have married Charlotte when she was 19 and I was 21. I would have married her when she was 18 and I was 20. That way I could add another year to being married to what I believe for me is indeed the greatest wife in all the world. And so she is admired by her family. But finally, as it should be appropriately, she is honored by the Lord. It ends with a tribute, as it should, wrapped up in biblical theological truth. Verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. Now, don't misread that. The text is not saying that charm and beauty are bad things. They're just transitory things. They don't last. They don't endure into eternity. Charm and is deceitful. And beauty, it's passing. But a woman who fears, who reveres, who honors the Lord, she shall be praised. I think we've seen she is praised by her children. She is praised by her husband. I think here it is implied she is praised by the Lord. And then she is even praised by just the things she does. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Peggy Weymeyer is a former religion correspondent for ABC News. She said a few years ago, a positive mom is the most powerful weapon against the culture of despair and cynicism that is assaulting our children today. Peggy may be right, but this much I do know. The best way to be a great mom is to be a Proverbs 31 mom. And the best way to be a Proverbs 31 mom is to be a Jesus mom. In fact, the bottom line is this, ladies. You can't be this kind of lady over a lifetime without a relationship with Jesus Christ. What you have here is a reflection of what you find in Ephesians 5, in 1 Peter 3, 1 Corinthians 7, Colossians 3, of that woman who has entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And because of the Christ living inside of her, she can be this kind of woman outside of her. And today, we appropriately honor the mothers, and today we appropriately give gifts to our mothers, and that is a good thing to do. But mothers, wives, I'm going to tell you something. Mother's Day could also be a great day for you to give a gift to your children and to your husband by making absolutely certain beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are a saved wife, a saved mother. And indeed, those of you that are here today that want to bless your mother and give a gift to your mother, I will tell you this, nothing would bless a lady more than that she be given the gift of a saved husband. And nothing would bless the heart of a mother more than that she would be given the gift of saved children. And so on a day that we do appropriately honor our mothers, might it be that we all begin where we need to begin, making sure that we are rightly related to God through faith in Jesus Christ. And knowing Him as our Lord and Savior, then we can be, ladies, the Proverbs 31 kind of wife and mother. And we can likewise be the kind of husband and the kind of sons that with a pure, clean, saved heart can say to the world, I've got the best wife in all the world. I've got the best mother in all the world. Jesus has made that possible in our family and in our home. I want you to bow your heads with me for just a moment and close your eyes. We're going to have a time of invitation where this morning you have the opportunity to respond as the Lord speaks to your heart. And today, again, if you want to be a great, wonderful mother, you need to be a saved mother. And maybe you're here today and you say, well, Danny, I'm not yet even married. Yes, but the odds are someday you will be. And the odds are someday you'll be a mother. And nothing could be more of a blessing to your family than that you would be a saved mother. And then again, you want to bless mom today? Nothing would bless a saved mother's heart more than to know that her husband knows Jesus and that her children likewise have a personal relationship with the Son of God. And so today could be the greatest day in your life as you make the greatest decision a person can ever make. And that is by putting all of your hopes, all of your faith, all of your trust in the sinless Son of God who died for your sins, was raised from the dead, lives today and is coming again. I'm going to pray. Already there are men here at the front to receive you. And if today you need to be saved, when we begin to sing, step out. Come take them by the hand and we'll lead you aside privately to a place where we can just talk to you about trusting Christ as your Savior. Coming today to join this church. Coming today for believers' baptism. Maybe coming today because you need someone to pray with you. You're just kind of at a crossroads. You're hurting. There's something going on in your life and you just need someone to pray with you. We're here to help. That's what this church is all about. We just want to help. So if we can be a blessing to you today, during this time of invitation, you feel free to step out and come, and we'll be glad to minister to you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the beautiful portrait of a godly wife and mother in Proverbs 31. Thank you that there's so many women that look like her. May you now have your will during this invitation in the lives of mothers and wives, husbands and fathers, sons and daughters, that in all things, Jesus would be glorified. We ask and pray this in his name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. We begin to sing. And if you need to step out and come, right now you step out and you come.
How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. That he would give his only son. To make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away. As wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulder. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scum. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished.
Ryan and Carol, continue to play. Maybe the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning. Friend, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, don't go another day. Don't leave this place today.